The Lord be with you. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew, the 18th chapter, beginning at the 21st verse. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. The introduction. Jesus has told the disciples how the community is to discipline those who disrupt its harmony by going against God's ways. But God is merciful, and so should we be. The reading. Peter came and said to Jesus, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "Not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But the same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves, who owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him by the throat, he said, 'Pay what you owe.' Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?' And in anger, his lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart." The Gospel of Christ.
Thanks be to God.
I speak to you in God's holy name, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer. Amen. As I read and prepared today, I thought about the Gospel. And I think about the debt we all owe to planet Earth. And I'm wondering if we don't mend our ways quickly, we too will pay the debt. We here today are breathing with difficulty because of all the smoke that's coming from the fires. And we know the fires are a direct result of climate change. And we are called to be good ancestors. And things that we do today will have an impact going forward for seven generations. I want you to do a think piece in your mind. Think of the youngest member of your family, your extended family. Think about maybe your youngest grandchild. And picture your youngest grandchild being 90 years old. And now picture that child, the grandchild of yours, being 90 years old, holding a baby. And ask yourself, what kind of life will that child have that period of time from now? And what choices we make now will impact that child's life going forward. We are called today to be good ancestors. Because what happens in the world now has an impact going forward, just as our ancestors' choices has an impact on us today. Their choices were not to understand, and perhaps they couldn't, the impact of evolution, to not understand the impact of burning hydrocarbons, the impact of what that would have on the earth. But we are with it now. And quantum mechanics, we've talked about a little bit in the past, has led to a realization of a connective force in the universe, which we didn't know until the last 60 years. But we're now learning that we're all connected. 100 years ago, scientists felt that everything we needed to know about physics was done. But now we know things are very different. And there's evolving a whole new understanding, a spiritual understanding that lives on top of the science, which is called metaphysics. And we now know that there's a whole new dimension called the fifth dimension. It's a connective energy. We don't fully understand it at all, but it's been able to be demonstrated. And arising out of this is a whole new spirituality called quantum spirituality or quantum theology. And a lot of this has its roots in the spiritual work of Teilhard de Chardin, who published in 1933 that we have to have a new way of understanding God and a new way of expressing our love of God and God's understanding God's love for us. And it's demanded, he demanded, and that we have been demanding a new way of thinking in church, a metanoia, a shift. And we know, and I mentioned it last week, that this metanoia, this shift is what Jesus talked about. Jesus came and spoke to the Jewish community of his day and said, look, the Pharisees and the scribes and the life that we have of doing things this way, but we have to have a whole new change. And he talked about how we must change in the gospel of today, how we must change how we relate to one another and be more restorative and forgiving. There's other changes that are being demanded of us today. We have to change, turn around, and take a new tact. And quantum physics leading to quantum spirituality has demanded that of us. We are all connected. We are connected with each other. We are connected with all life, the plants, the animals, around the globe. We are part of the matrix, they with us and we with them. When we all got to where we are, God's pattern of creation is through evolution. We can try to deny it, we can try to play mental games, but the reality is we are here through evolution. And part of the understanding we have today is that the divine matrix is holographic. What you see in your fingernail is representative of what we see in the whole of the planet Earth and beyond that in the whole of the universe. The past, the present, and the future are intimately joined forever. So I want to spend some time this morning focusing in on the idea of metanoia. Metanoia, the recognition of the alive, transformational, dialectical nature of life, an understanding according to Pierre Teilhard de Chardin. And there's 9 principles of metanoia that are important for us to hold in our minds and hearts as we understand life today and going forward, striving to be the good ancestor. The first one is that discoveries of modern science must form an important foundation for any contemporary theology, spirituality, or morality. Modern science is important. We have tried in the past, the church has tried in the past, to pretend that modern science wasn't there. that we've held on tenaciously to a paradigm that we received in the Scripture. And we've ascribed to Scripture that somehow God dictated it, and this stands above all science. Well, now we're starting to understand that God has created, and the way we understand creation is through science itself. Science and religion are not separate. We don't have to be afraid of it. We just have to understand that it's a new pages turned of understanding. We also understand through new physics and through quantum theology something we've known in the past. I mean, when the quantum physicists came and joined the theologians and said, wow, we just don't know what's going on, this stuff we can't understand, the theologians said to them, look, we've been here for years waiting for you, and I'm glad you're here. And it's true. And one of the things that theology has known, that we have known from our reading of the Scripture, is that love is the very nature of God. The very nature of and foundation of creation is love. And the universe does indeed reflect this divine love. It's not about hate. It's not about punishment. It's about love and about God's blessing. The third part of the metanoia, that God created an evolving, expansive universe, and evolution is happening continually on every level of being. It bothers me greatly how many Christians that I've encountered over the years have some idea that evolution is somehow beyond the pale for Christians to accept or look at. Evolution is God's way of creating. You know, it wasn't sort of like nothing and then there was a donkey. It wasn't like there was sort of nothing and then there was a whale. Things evolved, and we understand that. We know that that's God's way of creating, and it's okay to understand that. But evolution has not stopped. Evolution is still ongoing now. Things are happening. Things have evolved even in humans somewhat in our own lifetime. If we did a measurement or had a measurement, those of us who were born pre-1940, apparently, if they did a measurement of our appendix, our appendix was actually longer in the human body than it is today. As our diet has changed, and also as we've changed the need, the appendix shortens. You look at the appendix of a rabbit, it's really big. And the appendix in us is quite short. But there's always things happening. Things are always changing and moving. So at every level of being, things are evolving. Number four is bringing evolving creation to its fulfillment is God's project as well as God's purpose in creating the universe. We are a part of God. We're not away from God. We are a part of the whole of creation, of the evolving creation. And we are in it and we are connected to everything. The success of God's project for creation depends on each one's consciousness and creative activity. A dynamic panentheist creator, God is within each of us. God is within everything around us. God is within all of life. God is not apart from it. The old image was that God was up in the clouds and beyond the clouds. We now know that God is involved in everything and in things. So when I mentioned in the Bible study early this morning, I happened to be cooking a chicken this week. And I got the whole chicken, and then I had to cut it up to barbecue it. But before I cut up the body of this chicken, I took time to thank the Creator and the chicken for giving up its life so that we would have food. I recognized that God was in that bird, and there was a connection between me and that animal when it was alive and even in its death. And First Nations people have practiced this form of understanding But we as individual humans have often somehow become disengaged from that reality. But really, once you start to think about connection, there's a whole new sensitivity about what we do and who we are. We are a part of a dynamic God who loves us, but who loves all of God's creation, and that we are called to be part of that creation, not estranged from it. And once we start to understand that we are a part of this, once we have this metanoic shift, it will be a lot easier for us to put aside racism, for us to become more climate sensitive, for us to become more the loving people of God. Number six, everyone according to the resources of love, energy, are morally obliged to nurture their evolutionary process. God has given us all a love energy, a sensitivity, a caring. And to the ability that we are in connection with that love energy, we are to be, and we are obliged to be, people who nurture that evolutionary process. So as you have consciousness, for instance, when I was 12, I may not have thought about anything when I was changing the oil in the lawnmower on living on the farm, of being careless about what happened to that oil and letting it drop onto the soil or some of it. Today, I know that that impinges the evolutionary process and that I'm very conscious of how I dispose of engine oils and things like that. It's becoming more aware. There's nothing wrong with being sensitive and aware. It's expression of love, an expression that what I do now affects what might happen to my grandchild's child when, or grandchild when she's 90 years old. The next one, number seven, is nousphere. It's a new word maybe for some of you. If you've read a lot of Pierre de Chardin, you'll know it. Nousphere is one of his words, and that is, it's a collection of all information, of all knowledge, arrived at the world to this point. And that it, that body of knowledge, from the beginning of knowledge being kept and understood, it grows every minute of every day. And it has arisen, and we should not be ignorant of it. We must be a part of it and allow it to flow into us and impact us in our decision-making process. And that's part of the metanoia, part of the change. We are not just living in the moment, but we are part of an ever-evolving body of knowledge and body of sensitivity. It is arisen and is evolving. I give you one quick primary example. Most of us here, whether in the hall today or at home, come from a Caucasian background. We have grown up in the world of whiteness, and we have privilege because of our whiteness that we don't even see or understand. One quick example is that I bet that none of us as adults have ever been followed in a store by somebody in security wondering if we're going to shoplift. But people of color, BIPOC people, which stands for Black Indigenous People of Color, BIPOC people find that's part of their daily life experience. When we're stopped by the police on a traffic checkup on the highway, we never really worry about what it's going to be like. But BIPOC people are in fear of what's going to happen to them, here in Canada as well as in other places. So there's new knowledge about what happens to our fellow citizens, what happens to our fellow Christians. And we, as people who understand these things, we must start speaking up that this is not just, that we're all called to be treated to be treated equally, and we are ourselves must work that we see others as our sisters and brothers, and that we treat them with respect and equality, and know that we often have unknown to us privilege just because of where we were born and the color that our parents held as we were born from them. Number 8 is to know, love, and serve the universe with passion as our role on earth. We are to start thinking bigger. It's not just about what happens in Agassiz or what happens in Abbotsford or what happens in my house. It has to be a bigger vision of what happens in the universe. We are all cells of Christ's cosmic body, living within and through Jesus. Jesus is present with us, and we are called to present the Jesus message to the world. And I've talked about Noosphere, the ever-growing body of knowledge from around the planet Earth. It's all the knowledge which has arisen from all the sciences, the philosophers and the theologians combined together. All this knowledge is inspired, and its production by revelation from God. None of this knowledge is outside of the sphere of the living, loving God. And it expands daily, and it is foundational to our understanding of quantum spirituality. And an understanding of quantum spirituality is an alive, real, vital understanding of our faith in God, which we can pass on to others. Being the reason for this series is not that I don't feel comfortable with worshiping God the way we have been, but I want to make sure that our children and our grandchildren and our grandchild's youngest child, 90 years from now, will have faith in Jesus, have faith in God, have faith in a loving God that cares and loves us all. May God's blessing be on us as we journey as the people of God. Amen.